God is good, and all the time. Amen. It's a beautiful day to be here with you folks this morning. I just have to share with you how smart my dog is. I asked my dog, what is 2 minus 2? And my dog said nothing. We have some announcements printed on the back of your bulletin. Feel free to look those over. And I will open the floor if there are any other added announcements at this time. Does anyone have anything they want to announce? Okay, let's hear about Vacation Bible School from Stephanie Iverson.
Yeah, so Vacation Bible School starts in a week. So if you have kids that like to sign up, come join us. We're going to space. So there is a link to registration or just contact me to sign up. And we're going to have a lot of fun. So it's 9 to 12, starting on the 19th.
Fantastic. Thank you for rounding that up, Stephanie. And we invite all your children, your grandchildren, friends of your children and grandchildren are all welcome to come participate in our Vacation Bible School. Want to welcome our live streamers. We had a little technical difficulty getting our live stream system up and running, but Paya and Mike got things tied up and we're up and running live on the internet. If there are no further announcements, I would ask that you please rise as we join together in our call to worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to worship. We gather today as people God calls to do and share the good news. We gather as God sent out people. We gather to listen and share God's work in our lives, our families, and our neighborhoods. We proclaim the goodness of God's love together. We gather to respond to God's grace as we continue on the path of discipleship. We hear God's call and learn to say yes to God together. We gather to again hear God's call to go as God commissions us to love God and neighbor in everything that we do. We go knowing that we are called, gathered, and sent out people. We are not alone as we carry the weight of God's call into the world together. Amen. Please remain standing as Mark leads us through our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision, number 451 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
I ever
may be seated. Today's first scripture reading is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, and that appears in your pew Bible on page 145 of the New Testament, if you wish to follow along. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. Listen for the word of the Lord. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord. We're now brought to our prayer time. As I mentioned earlier, we have some prayer concerns listed in the back of the bulletin. We lift up Don Boyles in his continued hope for a kidney transplant. Also listed prayers for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and in Russia. And then there's Don's mother who is in hospice. Are there any other concerns? Yes, Mike, we have Holly up here to my left, please.
Just keep my dad and our family in your prayers. My Aunt Fern passed away this week, kind of unexpectedly. So anyways, we just like everybody else, it's tough stuff, but we know she's with God.
Ron's sister?
My dad's sister. Mm-hmm.
Let's keep Ron, the Mackus family, in our prayers. Are there any other prayer concerns? Let's look at our celebrations. I have here on the list that Rick and Louise Jasper celebrate 24 years of marriage tomorrow. So let's lift that up in celebration. Are there any others? Happy belated anniversary to the Contours, who celebrated their anniversary last week on the 5th. How many? 47 years. Amen to that. Stephanie, Mike, can you add to your step count and head over towards Stephanie, please?
Okay, so we weren't here last week because Hadley was competing in gymnastics for state. She got 5th place on floor and 3rd place on beam, so.
Fantastic. Good job, Hadley. Keep it going, keep it going. If there are no other concerns or celebrations, let's move on to our unison prayer, as printed in your bulletin. God, who loves us and calls us, we confess that we are not always open to receiving your call on our lives. We make excuses. We choose not to listen. We believe that others would do it better than we can. All the times we say no or nothing at all to your call. We confess that we value the false certainty of our own path over the certainty of journeying with you and one another on the path of discipleship. Forgive us for all the ways we choose what we think we know over joining you in the holy unknown. We confess that we value the cause of some over others, putting the paths of some up on pedestals, while not recognizing the many who answer your call as quiet, behind-the-scenes disciples. Forgive us for neglecting the beautiful and varied calls you place on each of our lives. Forgive us, God, and free us to joyfully bear the weight of your call on our lives as members together of the body of Christ, redeemed and united by your love. Amen. Let us be in a moment of silent prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come together to humbly bow our heads before your throne in prayer, in meditation. We acknowledge your existence as the beginning, the present, and you will be there at the end. We acknowledge the reign on your throne, your reign as King of Kings, your reign as Lord of Lords. The King of the universe, the Almighty, the Prince of Peace. We are so thankful for many things, too numerous to count. If the sky was our tapestry, it would not be big enough to list all the blessings for which we are thankful. We are thankful for this opportunity at this moment to come together in worship, to lift our voices in song, to present our prayers to your altar, for we know your yoke is light. We are thankful, Heavenly Father. We pray your blessing not only be with us during our hour of worship. We pray your blessing be with Pastor Peter and his family. We also pray your blessing be with Pastor Neil and his family, as the two pastors who pastor your flock here at Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. Continue to strengthen them, continue to lead them along the road, along the path, that you may be the light in their minds, in their hearts, as they serve your people. We are thankful for the members of this church, of this family. We pray your blessing be upon us here in this gracious setting, our beloved sanctuary, but also we think of our family members and extended family in other places of the world. We lift up the marginalized, we lift up those who are less fortunate than us in hospitals, those who are incarcerated. May you be a beacon of hope, a beacon of faith that they can all grab onto. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Today, tomorrow, throughout the week, as we come and gather to refill our cups, hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us as we join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say as they pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are a giving church, and our mission is broad. If you so feel inclined to give of your earnings, of your blessings, the offering plate is in the narthex. And we will invite Barb to share our offertory, Fairest Lord Jesus. Amen. I would invite you all to please rise as we join together, or I will read to you today's gospel lesson, which is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, and from verses 18 to 26. Matthew 9, 9 to 13, and then verses 18 to 26. Listen for the word of the Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and sacrifice, for I have come to call not on the righteous, but sinners." While Jesus was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The word of the Lord. Please remain standing as we move to our second hymn, "Seek Ye First," item number 405 in the United Methodist Hymnal. You may be seated. I'd like to start off by thanking Pastor Peter for the opportunity to share the word with you these last couple of Sundays. It has not only been enlightening to me to dive in and to be more involved with the scriptures from week to week, but I want to thank you also for not throwing me out the door. I want to thank you also for inspiring me to continue to find a place where I can serve our Savior and our God. I also would like to thank the support staff of Burns as we go through worship from Sunday to Sunday. I'd like to thank Barb Shaw. I'd like to thank Mark Doctor, Mike Sumrall, Ellen Doctor, who is not present today, but she plays a big part with our live streaming with the video camera. And all of you, I want to thank my wife, Paya, for being supportive of my journey through this life of Christianity. It's commonly said that behind every man stands a good woman. But Paya, she stands beside me. She doesn't stand behind me. So I am thankful for that. Today's gospel reading, taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, is Matthew's account referring to the story when Jesus raised a young girl from the dead, as we heard, and as he healed the sick woman. Now, this same story also appears in both the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke. So today I will be cross-referencing between these three Gospels, as Mark and Luke's account of this story is a bit more elaborate compared to Matthew's account. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a young elementary school-aged boy living in Hawaii, I was a faithful follower of the 3-second rule. You know, you're snacking on favorite bag of chips, and one of those chips happens to fall onto the floor. And the belief is that as long as that chip is not on the floor for more than 3 seconds, that chip remains an eligible candidate for consumption. As a child, I had full faith and belief for that chip to be clean enough to eat. I would not call this blind faith. I would lean toward the classification of a child's innocent naivety. But let's look at the case of the unclean woman. For 12 years, this woman, whose name does not appear anywhere in the Bible, is suffering from female-associated hemorrhaging, bleeding. We all know that during the time of Jesus, having this particular ailment of being regarded as unclean would have put you in what we call today self-isolation. Remember that from COVID? That is what this woman endured for 12 years. According to Luke's account, all of this woman's financial resources exhausted, depleted, after paying doctor after doctor for failed attempt after failed attempt to end her malady. Also, let's not lose sight of the physical implications associated with this outrageously extensive 12-year-long span of losing blood. Chronic fatigue, persistent dizziness, just to name a few. Then there is also the mental anguish that comes when your friends, that comes when your neighbors shun and ostracize you. The poor woman was deemed a societal outcast. No one wants to be near her. Nobody wants any type of involvement with this woman. Then on the other end of the spectrum, let's look at the man from today's scripture who asked Jesus to lay his hand on his daughter so that she may live. We know from Mark's account, the man's name is Jairus. Jairus is one of the leaders of the synagogue. He is an upstanding, well-respected, and even looked-up-to member of his community. Complete opposite end of the spectrum from the sick lady. Jairus lived a comfortable, a resource-full life. And to add to that, there is no mention of Jairus having any type of health issues. Now, there are two common threads that connects these two worldly opposites. Despite their differences, their first connection is their faith. Their shared belief, their shared hope that Jesus Christ was the only remaining option. This is an example of two extremes coming together as they both come to Jesus. Second, Jairus and the woman were connected by their desperation. Their shared desperation was beyond themselves. Neither Jairus or the woman had the means, neither one of them had the resources nor the ability to get what they were so desperately seeking under their own power. They couldn't do it on their own. So they both went to Jesus. One of the things that came to mind in preparation for this sermon was the touch of the cloak. As Jesus walked by the sick woman, did she just reach out and brush the back of her hand along his cloak? Did she grab the cloak and give it a little tug? Or did she touch the cloak in the way you or I would swipe our phones? Or did she use the premise of my childhood 3-second rule? Have you ever been late to work? I have. Late to a meeting or late to a Nuggets game? Hopefully you're not late to the Nuggets game. You are running late. You get on the interstate, and initially traffic is running smooth. But as you scoot through the south end of Castle Rock, your approach to the Gap construction project is met with increased traffic congestion that eventually results in a literal crawl as all traffic gets funneled into a single lane. Does this sound familiar for anybody? This is where you feel helpless. This is where the hopelessness sets in, as you are stuck for what feels like eternity. Perhaps this is how Jairus felt when his attempt to hastily bring Jesus to his dying daughter was slowed by the large mob of people that eventually stopped for the healing of the unclean woman. I will share with you an excerpt from Luke chapter 9. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the home of Jairus to say, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble Jesus any longer." When Jesus heard this, Jesus replied, "Do not fear. Only believe, and she will be saved." When they arrived at the home of Jairus, Jesus put the mourners out, told the instrument players to leave, go outside. Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and the girl got up and was alive. Do you remember my mentioning the two common threads that connect the woman and Jairus earlier? The first one being their faith. The second common thread that they shared was their desperation. Let me introduce you to a third commonality. They shared restoration. Restoration of spirit, restoration of body, restoration of life. Brothers and sisters, you see, when we rely completely on our own ability, when we rely on our own wisdom, when we believe that, "Oh yes, I've got this figured out." When you think you can do it all by yourself, there will come a point in time, there will come a point in your life that you realize, "I am dead. I am bleeding." That is who we are in today's gospel lesson. We are the woman. We are Jairus. We are the girl. Through today's text, we are blessed with the understanding that Jesus is readily accessible. Jesus is readily available. He is touchable. And he reaches out to touch others. Jesus is also impartial. The status of the woman, as well as the status held by Jairus, made no difference to Jesus. Jesus openly ministered to them both. You see, faith is putting your trust in someone and relying on that person or that something. Surrendering your anxiety, surrendering your hopelessness, conceding to Jesus and saying to him, "Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender." Brothers and sisters, let us follow the example of the woman and Jairus, putting complete faith in Jesus and relying only on him to deliver us from desperation to restoration for his glorification. Amen. I would ask that you all please rise as we sing together our closing hymn, I Surrender All, number 354 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
Thank you.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join hands and sing our closing benediction. Go now in peace.